Congressman King, do you think the farm bill is being held as a bargaining chip in these negotiations over ending the government shutdown and positioning for raising the debt ceiling?
You know, I really don't. Of all the drama that's going on here, I don't get the sense that the farm bill is being held as a bargaining chip. It's just right now there's so much clutter to be able to sit down and negotiate on the farm bill. It's pretty hard to pay attention. Yes, we should be able to multitask on this, and John Boehner is not yet, as far as I know, named the conferees. So when that happens, we'll go to work anyway, whether we're distracted or not, but I don't think that it's a bargaining chip at this point.
Well, staying with that, do you think that Speaker Boehner is wise in saying he's going to use Democrat votes to pass an increase in the debt ceiling?
No, I don't think that's wise, and I wouldn't agree with that. Although, you know, the other side of that coin is that it would take all Republican votes to do that. You know, you're going to want, if the debt ceiling is going to be increased, you would want it to be a bipartisan vote. Good policy gets done in a bipartisan fashion. So I don't know the context of his statement or the tone of his message. But, and I think it's hard to look ahead on what a debt ceiling agreement might be when we're in the middle of this partial shutdown.
The House hasn't appointed conferees as of yet on the farm bill. And I wonder if you anticipate when that will be and whether you will be one of them.
Well, it looks like, you know, this doesn't take very much to issue the notice to appoint the conferees. I thought that that might happen the first day of this week, but I didn't anticipate we would be in this partial shutdown at that time. So I do think that John Boehner is focused on other things, and that's likely the reason that there hasn't been conferees named. You know, as far as the list of potential conferees, I'm very confident I'm on that list, and whether he appoints me or not, we shall see. But there are only two Republicans with more seniority on the committee, and they're either the current chair or the past chair, and I'm the chairman of the subcommittee that deals with 80% of the resource. So I think it's something that would be a very logical thing for John Boehner to include me in the conferee appointment.
You were very active in writing this farm bill, and your interstate commerce provision now, though, is opposed by the chair of the Senate Ag Committee, Debbie Stabenow. Do you think it has a chance to stay in and survive conference?
Oh, yes, it has a chance to stay in and survive. I'm expecting that there will be strong support for it from the House side. If you remember, the ranking member, Democrat Colin Peterson, strongly supported my amendments when we brought it through committee. And I'm confident that he's going to maintain his position on that. Then Debbie Stabenow apparently has taken a position against it. I'm not convinced that she has had the full opportunity to hear my arguments. So she likely will have a chance to hear my arguments. And you know, if I can sit down and talk with any of the Democrats in the Senate that might oppose my amendment on a one-on-one personal basis, I hope to be able to do that. I had initiated some of that action at this point, and the meeting that I had set up for yesterday was canceled because of other considerations, I guess. But I'm trying to work this, and we've got strong support from all of the agriculture groups out there that I can think of, with the exception of United Ag, and they had already signed up with the other team before this amendment was offered. So I think there's a reasonable chance of getting this done. It's a principle we have to stand on. If we wait 5 years and try to fix this, it'll be getting pretty late, Ken.
Turning to immigration, Congressman, the Democrats have introduced a bill that will allow illegal workers, some of them farm and other occupations, to become legal and then potentially to become citizens. What do you think of that bill?
Well, this is all pretty simple in a way. It starts with this. Immigration is the most complex issue we ever deal with here in this Congress. That's why people come in and they think, I can fix this. It seems logical to them, and once you get into the middle of it, you realize how difficult that it is. And I have taken this down to this, that the president has consistently refused to keep his oath of office and enforce existing immigration law. The letter of the law requires that people that are encountered by immigration officers be placed into removal proceedings, and the president has forbid ICE officers from doing their job and following the law. So the position I've taken is that if the president won't keep his oath of office and if he won't enforce current immigration law, there's no way that we can reach an agreement on immigration and trust the president to follow through and keep his word on something he may not like. And for that reason, I've said that I will oppose anything that comes through the House on immigration that either legalizes people that are here illegally or increases the legal immigration rate, which is at right at 1.2 million per year. We're the most generous nation in the world by far, and we have a policy that, if enforced, is a pretty good policy. And until we restore the rule of law, we just can't be sacrificing it on the altar of political expediency. And I know that puts some of our producers under certain pressure, but you know, we got to this point for failure to enforce the law, and now we can't say that the solution for the problem that we're in is to simply then eradicate the law and grant amnesty.